This afternoon, you're listening to the Todd LeBorowitz Show, Real Estate Radio and Sound Broadcast Network, AM 1260 The Answer. I'm your host, Todd LeBorowitz, and this segment is brought to you by Topaz Mortgage, our preferred partner for all your mortgage needs. You're in for a special treat today because in the studio with us now is George Leventhal. He's president of the Montgomery County Council, and we're going to talk about Montgomery County today. Welcome to the studio.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for inviting me.
I'm so glad that you're here. We got a lot of moving parts coming up next week. Tell our listeners what you have on the agenda.
Every year at this time, we begin the biggest part of our job, which is to go through the proposed budget that the county executive sends us line by line. And public input is very important to that process. We're looking forward to hearing from dozens and dozens of witnesses. We have five public hearings scheduled April 14, 15, and 16. Afternoon and evening hearings. They're all full, unfortunately. We've got a waiting list for witnesses, but we'll have more than 30 witnesses at each of the five hearings, and so we'll get a really good cross-section of what people are interested in and what they think we should be spending money on and how they feel about their taxes, the whole range of issues in the budget.
Wonderful. Well, let's get into a couple of the topics that I want to go over with. The first one is keeping the schools funded to draw future taxpayers into Montgomery County from D.C. What's your take on that?
Absolutely. Well, the Montgomery County Public Schools is such a huge part of the Montgomery County brand. I think so many of us moved here because we wanted either our kids or if we moved here as children with our parents, as I did, to benefit from these great public schools. They are among the best in the entire United States. Maryland, depending on which ranking you look at, which year, but year after year, Maryland has scored often number one in the United States, and Montgomery County scores number one among counties in Maryland. So we're very fortunate. It is expensive, of course, to provide a first-rate education to our students. We spend about $2.5 billion on the school system's budget. They've asked for a little more probably this year than we'll be able to get them. We're still waiting to see what happens in the closing days of the legislative session in Annapolis. There's some disagreement between the governor and the two houses of the legislature about, you know, the final $25 million from Montgomery County. So we're still keeping our fingers crossed to see if that comes through. But in a budget of $2.5 billion, you know, that's going to be about 0.1% of the total. So overall, you know, we'll provide a very healthy budget, and we'll make sure that we provide the schools most of what they ask for, maybe 97-98% of what they ask for.
Wonderful. So it's one of the best rated schools in the area, and it also keeps the property values higher than other counties.
Well, no question. What our goal should be is that it is uniformly excellent. And so we do have issues with a new superintendent coming on board. We do need to make sure that the new superintendent and the school board are doing everything they can to make sure that no matter where you attend school in Montgomery County, you receive an outstanding education, college preparation. The eastern part of Montgomery County generally has, you know, more stressed families, more families coming from economically challenged situations, and those create some difficulties for a learning environment. And that's why it's important that we make sure to invest our resources wisely to try to assist folks, children, especially from disadvantaged families, because education should be the great equalizer. Education ought to provide opportunity for everyone, regardless of what your background is. And that's our goal in Montgomery County.
Well, it seems the first challenge is being aware of it, which you are, and creating that environment. I can definitely see you conquering that issue.
All of the elected officials in the county are committed to addressing what we call the achievement gap. It's not a simple thing, and you can't blame it on anyone. It isn't the school board's fault or the school superintendent's fault that children from families that are economically disadvantaged are going to have some obstacles to overcome when it comes to learning. But we need to make sure that we have the resources in the classroom to particularly help those kids from the most stressed families. I hear some really shocking and disturbing stories about, you know, we have homeless children in our school system. We have children encountering tremendous poverty. So we've got to do everything we can to, as I say, to help people climb that ladder, and education is the best way to do that.
Wonderful. I'm so happy that you say that. Because a lot of people, they try to ignore it, or they just say, I need to move over here so I can stay away from that. And it's important to take on this challenge. And that's probably what makes Montgomery County so great, is you don't avoid issues. You actually take them head on.
I think that's right. We're a wealthy county. We're generally in the top 10 of wealthiest counties in the United States. Again, it depends which survey and which year. But we do have rising numbers of economically disadvantaged people who are, you know, really struggling to get by from month to month. And so we're a generous county. We're a compassionate county. We do a lot, I think, to assist those who don't begin life with the same advantages that others of us have.
Wonderful. And let's move forward a little bit. White Flint's going under a lot of development, and they will look to change it to the Pike District. For someone that's been living here a long time like myself, what's your take on calling it the Pike District?
Well, I was rooting for Beth Rock. I thought that would have kind of a Flintstones feel to
right.
it, and, you know, halfway between Rockville and Bethesda. I was rooting for that, but they didn't listen to me.
And so do you like the name Pike District?
It's okay. I actually have yet to hear it in common use. I think, as you're doing, people still talk about Rockville Pike or White Flint. Whether the Pike District becomes something that just trips lightly off the tongue and people are used to, it might take a change to maybe one of the metro stations, you know, that people start to see it daily and absorb it. So far, it hasn't achieved that penetration.
I mean, I'm still calling it the MCI Center.
Well, I'm still holding out for Bethrock, but nobody knows what I'm talking about.
Not Bethrock, the Verizon Center. I keep still calling it the MCI Center.
Oh, you want to sit? You're still calling it the MCI Center. Yeah.
And let's talk about Bethesda. There's a condo boom going on right now. The rents are actually higher than in D.C.
Yeah, that's true. Although you have a lot of new apartments coming online. There's been a slight dip in rents in Silver Spring because there's so much more housing supply. Bethesda, I think, is just really hot right now. It's really desirable. It's great to live downtown. You've got great restaurants. You've got access to jobs. You've got access to Metro. So, you know, there's a lot going for Bethesda right now. And it's true, housing is expensive.
Yeah. Well, by the way, if you're just tuning in, I have with me George Leventhal. He's president of Montgomery County Council. I'm your host, Todd LeBorwood, and you're listening to Sound Broadcast Network, AM 1260, The Answer. Now, let's talk about the Marriotts. They're a corporate headquarters. They're moving.
Absolutely. Look, we want the Marriotts to stay. Bill Marriott started his company in this county. I grew up in this county in the 1960s. I remember the Hot Shops restaurants. I remember when Marriott was just a, you know, local serving food service and fast food company. So it's gone through enormous growth, global growth. It's a very, very important leader in the hospitality industry worldwide. We believe its home, natural home, is Montgomery County. And at the county government level and at the state government level, there's a lot of interest in working with Marriott to meet its needs and keep it here.
Perfect. And what about the bus rapid transit?
We've had a lot of discussion. We have a lot of traffic. And the question is, there are communities that don't have traffic. We don't want to be one of those. We're, like most of the issues that we talk about, we're very successful. And supply and demand means that there's only so much space for people to get to the jobs and get from the housing. I mean, a thriving economy means more traffic. So it's not really a bad thing that we have a lot of people working, that we have a lot of people getting in their cars every day and going to their jobs. However, we've got to provide alternatives too. It's very frustrating and it takes too long and it's inefficient. And so we need to invest in transit. We need a metro system that works better than the one we have now. We've got to expand access to transit through proposals like the Purple Line and the Quarter Cities Transitway. And then also we're talking about repurposing some of the road miles that we have already by dedicating express lines for buses, which can carry a whole lot more people in the same amount of space than what automobiles would have. Now, that also means a change in behavior. People have to be willing to take the bus. And that's a very untried proposition. So we have a broad countywide plan. We don't yet have a financing plan. The top priorities for bus rapid transit, first of all, are the Quarter Cities Transitway, which would extend from the Shady Grove Metro through Washington Grove, through Germantown, and up to Clarksburg. And that will be a bus on a dedicated lane, and we have all the right-of-way already. We know exactly where that's going to go. In the longer term, top priority would be Rockville Pike and Route 29. And so we want to dedicate express lanes on both of those very busy, very crowded roads to get people faster from home to work. And it's a great concept. We don't yet know how it'll be paid for, and so it's, you know, still some years off. There's a lot of discussion and work that still needs to be done on the bus rapid transit proposal.
But it's in progress.
It's under discussion. We're working hard on trying to figure it out, but I can't tell you today how much it'll be paid for, which is obvious, how much it'll cost or how it will be paid for, which is a pretty big issue.
But the rubber will meet the road eventually.
Literally.
Right. And you talked about the Purple Line. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm a strong supporter of the Purple Line. It's the smartest near-term investment we can make that will grow our economy, create jobs, connect communities, and improve our metro system overall. It'll bring an influx of new riders. It'll connect the Orange Line and the Green Line and the Red Line, which aren't connected today. It provides the east-west connection that's been missing here in the Maryland suburbs. It will be transformative for the University of Maryland. For all of us who are Terps fans and want to go to a game, you'll be able to take transit. You won't be stuck in traffic. For those of us who are students or graduate students or faculty or parents, of students at the university. It'll just make life a lot easier and a lot better. It will increase connectivity for jobs here in Bethesda with Silver Spring, with Prince George's County, New Carrollton, the federal facilities down there. We're trying to attract the FBI headquarters to Prince George's County, and that'll be a great big job center. So the Purple Line is an integral part of our long-term economic development plans. It's going to increase the value of land all along the route, increase the value of housing all along the route. It's going to be a great thing for our local economy. If it happens, we need to prevail upon Governor Hogan to keep the momentum going. It's the smartest investment we can make, consistent with what Governor Hogan has been saying about how we're open for business, we want to grow our tax base and attract jobs and investment. The Purple Line does all those things.
Perfect. Well, now I'm for the Purple Line.
Absolutely.
And before we wrap up, the county's issue with the vacant office buildings, there's a lot of them.
Yes, true. You know, people's needs in the office market are changing. Companies use less space per employee. Northern Virginia, which we compete with directly, has a higher office vacancy rate than Montgomery County has. So we're doing the best we can to attract jobs and investment and keep the companies we have here and grow homegrown industries like the biotechnology industry, cybersecurity, that will occupy some of that space. So we're very focused on office space as part of our overall economic development strategy.
Perfect. You're such a worth of knowledge here.
Well, thanks a lot.
So before we leave, how long have you been doing this?
I've been on the county council for 12 years. I've been elected 4 times by the people of this great county, and I'm grateful for their support.
Well, I'm glad that you're here because we're having you back. I need to give you a double second next time.
I enjoyed it.
Thanks for being here. And coming up next, we've got the Real Estate Roundtable, bringing everyone in here except George. He's got to go. Coming up next.